Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Baba Kama Daf Nunches. We're learning Le'ilu Nishmas Yera Geiger, Yachnit Bas Avram Yosef. All the summers we learned for Shirat Aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety of the Chayalim, the Kochos HaBitachon, full of Klai Yisrael. The Chayalim should be successful in all of their endeavors, bring back the hostages, the Chatufim, Benheira, with the Refuah Shlema for all those in need, and all those that need Nechama from their heavy Korbanos that they sacrificed for Klai Yisrael. All of the people should have a Nechama Shlema. We pick up the Gemara on Nunches Omer Aleph, 7-8 lines from the top with the words Hechi Nofal. Some actually have the gear, so Hechi Nofla. We're dealing here with the animal that fell in from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus of the Nizak, or from a high place into the Rishus of the Nizak. This is talking about an accident that happened. It wasn't through Pshia, and therefore the halacha we said in the Mishnah was that the Baal Hashar, he only pays for Masha Nenis, what he benefited from, but not Masha Hizik, not what the actual damage was. And the Gemara asks, Hechi Nofal, how did the animal fall that we're saying that this was an accident and it wasn't Pshia on behalf of the owner? So the Gemara has two opinions. The first one is Rav Kahana. Omar Rav Kahana tells us, Shehuchlucha Mimeme Ragleha. The animal slipped on its own urine. So Rashi points out, Shehuchlucha Mimei Ragleha, Mirushus Sarabim Lagina. It fell and slipped from the Rishus Sarabim into this chotzer of the Nizak, into the Gina, into his garden. The onsa, this is the definite onus, the lo solka adaitihu. There's no way that the owner of this animal that slipped would know that it's going to slip on its own urine. And then before I should point out, slapped off its own urine, it would slip on anything. It would slip on somebody else's urine, another animal's urine. So therefore, that is Rav Kahana's opinion why it's an onus, because it slipped on something that there's no way the owner could have done anything to prevent it. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different reason. He says, Shedo chafasa chaverta. It was pushed by another animal that was walking along with it. Now, are these two just two potential different answers, but there's no nafkamina? Shmuel says no. Mandi Omar Shadoch Hafto Chaverta, according to the second opinion, Rabbi, it says that another animal pushed it, so then, Kol Shekein Shehuchlucha Bimei Ragla. If you hold that if another animal pushed it, that's still not called Pshia, that's an onus, and the owner, there's no way he could have prevented another animal from pushing it, so certainly he can't prevent the animal from slipping on urine or some other slippery substance in the Rishus HaRabim. Koshkein Shehuchlucha Bimei Ragla, that the owner wouldn't be held accountable, and he would only have to pay Masha Nenis. However, according to Rav Kahana, Uman Diyama Shehuchlucha Bimei Raglecha, according to Rav Kahana says that the only time that it's not considered Pshia, it's an onus, if it slips on its own urine or someone else's urine, another animal's urine, that would be avo dochav tocha verta. If another animal pushed it, then it is the responsibility of the owner of the animals. Pasha, or some of the gear saw pshia hi, that this is in fact a pshia on his behalf, the owner should have been more careful. And therefore, umishalem is masha zika. And therefore, he has to pay for the actual damage, not just the benefit that he got. Why is that? Because the amale, the owner of the gina, could say, hey, iboy loch abure chada chada. Why didn't you go and watch your animals more carefully? We're assuming here that it was one of his own animals that pushed another one of his own animals from the Rishus HaRabim into the Gina. And therefore, he told him, the owner of the Gina can say to the owner of the animals, you should have walked them one at a time instead of trying to have two go through in a narrow space, and therefore one pushes the other. Or even if it's not a narrow space, they're just jostling for position, and one pushed the other, and it fell from the Rishus HaRabim into the Gina, and therefore you're held liable. So Rav Kahana says, only Huchlucha Bimei Ragleha, but not Dochavasa Chaverta. Whereas Rav says, Dochavasa Chaverta, and certainly Huchlucha Bimei Ragleha. Mark continues, says Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana tells us another din, Lo Shanu Ela Biosa Ruga, that which we said, that you're chayiv to pay over here only Masha Nanis, and not Masha Hizik, that's only in that same row. When the animal fell in, it's in a certain row. So in that area, the animal's eating stuff, or the animal's crushing stuff, so therefore, that's an ones, and you're only chayiv in this situation, Ma Shenanis, the benefit that you got from the animal breaking its fall, or from the animal eating whatever it ate, so whatever you would have paid for lunch, so that's what you now have to pay the owner. Even if you ate something much more expensive than what you would have normally given the animal for lunch, so you just have to pay the lower amount. Lo shanu ela ba'osu aruga, only in that row itself. However, if Kana says, avo me aruga le aruga, if the animal went now into another row, so then we don't say you just pay masha nenis. In that situation, if Kana says, avo me aruga le aruga, mishalem es masha zika, now you have to pay for the damage that you did. Now, the simple understanding over here is because you were in control of your animal. When, as Rashi says, avo holcha me aruga le aruga, viochla, now it ate in a different row. So mishalem es masha zika, you should have taken the animal out. And therefore, it's your fault, you're a posheya, and therefore you pay for the actual damage. That is Rav Kahana, but Rav Yochanan disagrees with him. Rav Yochanan, Amar, no. Afilu me'aruga li'aruga. Even if it went originally in row A, and then it went to row B, nevertheless, afilu kol yom kulo, and even if this continues all day long, as we'll see in a moment what we're talking about, nevertheless, there is only a requirement to pay mashe nenis, as opposed to mashe zika, until ad, Rav Yochanan says, shetetze v'tachzor l'das, until the animal leaves and comes back with the knowledge of the owner. Now, what exactly does that mean? So Amar Rav Papa qualifies this and he says, what does Rav Yochanan mean? Lo tema, don't think that Rav Yochanan means ad shetetze l'das, v'sachzor l'das, that it left with the knowledge of the owner and it came back in with the knowledge of the owner. Don't think only in that situation is he going to be chayiv for mashe hizik as opposed to mashe nenis. No. Elokivin shiyotzo l'das. Once the owner knows that his animal has left that field, that gina, so now, even if he doesn't know that it came back, even though it came back without his knowledge, he had put it in the corral and didn't do a shmira ma'ayisa. He just did a shmira pechusa. He did a regular shmira. He's going to be held liable. Why? My time, what's the rationale? So Rav Papa explains, because the Amale, the owner of the Gina, can say to the owner of this animal, Kivan the Alpha, once it already knows that my field is here, there's delicious food over here in my field, Kol Emas the Mishtamta, as soon as it leaves the corral, it gets out of the corral with just the regular Shmira protecting it, it's going to get out of the corral, Lohasam Ratra, it's going to run right over to my field. He knows where that supper is. He knows that's where his good stuff. And therefore, you should have given him a Shmira Ma'ay. And if you don't give him a shmira ma'ayisa, you're a posheya. If you're a posheya, so then you have to pay ma shehizika as opposed to ma shenanis. That's Rav Papa's understanding of Rav Yochanan, which of course differs with what Rav Kahana said. Now the Gemara continues and says, until now we've been talking about where it was an onus. It was not the fault of the owner of the animal. It either slipped on the urine or it was pushed by another animal. And according to the opinion that says that that's an onus, so therefore you only pay ma shenanis, not Masha Zika. But now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Yarda Kidarka, if the animal went on its own down there, you weren't watching it properly, Vihizika, and it did damage, so then Mishalemis Masha Zika, then you have to pay for the damage that your animal did, because it's in the Rishus of the Nizach, and your animal had no right to be there, and therefore you pay Masha Hizika. Okay, straightforward for the Mishnah. The Mishnah is very simple to understand, and the Gemara questions the following. Boy, Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya asks, what about Yarda Kidarka if it came down in the normal way? In other words, there was a pshia on the part of the owner in not watching it walk down into the other guy's garden, but then Vizika Bimei Leida, it then did damage in an unusual way. It gave birth down there, and the placental fluids and the amniotic fluid and all the other secretions from the animal went and ruined a patch of vegetables. Nobody wants to eat that stuff with all the secretions on it. So, Mahu, what's the halacha in that situation? That's a Revere Me S. So we have here a clear case where there was pshia at the beginning, but then there was something unusual. There was an onus, or at least potentially there's an onus over here, in that it was the meleda, the birthing fluids, that went and caused the damage. So Revere Me S, what's the halacha? What are the two sides of the coin? So Aliba demand the Omar, according to the opinion that says, we had this machlokas earlier, Techilas of Bepshia Vesova Bionis is Chayev, according to the demand the Omar, it says, once you start off with a Pshia, so no matter what happens afterwards, even if it was an onus that you normally would be potter for, since you had a Pshia right there at the beginning, you're held liable for everything afterwards. So according to that man, the Amid, it says, Tchilas will be pshiyah, v'sof will be ones, you're going to be chayav. So then there's no question over here. Lo tiboylach. There is no question. Of course you'd be chayav. There was a pshiyah that you let the animal walk down there, and even though it's now an unusual thing, an ones, b'nei leida, it destroyed the other fruits through the birthing secretions, that's your problem because it was tchilas of a pshia, and even though sof will be onis, you're chayv. So according to that man, the Omer, there's no question over here. Where is there a question? Where did Rav Yirmiya ask this question? Kiti Baruch, according to the man, the Omer, it says, Aliba the man, the Omer, tchilas of a pshia, the sof will be onis, that you're potter. According to the man, the Omer, it says, if there was pshia at the beginning, you're not automatically going to be chayv unless the accident occurred because of the pshia. But then if an onis occurred, so then, an onus, your potter. So according to that man, the Amid, it says, Chilas of a Pshia, Vesof of the onus. The actual onus is what caused the damage. And in that situation, your potter. So that's where Rav Yirmi asked the question, Mai. Do we say, Mi Amrinan? No, this is a classical case. I'm keeping the Chilas of a Pshia, Vesof of the onus, your potter. So your potter over here as well. Because after all, this melee does an unusual thing. And therefore, you're going to be potter. Or Dilma, or maybe not. According to this man, the Amid, who says, Chilas of a Pshia, Vesof of the onus, your potter. But maybe over here, or Dilma, Hacha Kula Bipshiahu. Here, it's not a Tchilas of Bipshiah and Sofu Bionis, it's Tchilas of Bipshiah V'sofo b'pshia. Why is that? Because the kiva d'chachazi d'kreiv lo lemeilat. The animal's pregnant. It's in its month that it's about to deliver. So the gestation of animals is 6 months, let's say. So this cow was scheduled to deliver now. And therefore, you should have been more careful to know, hey, it may go down into that gina and deliver there and ruin that guy's vegetables. So therefore, in this situation, it's t'filoso b'pshia v'sofo b'pshia. And therefore, Iboya Leli Natura, he should have watched it more carefully and returned to Nunches Omid Beis, Ulis Tamure Bigaba. And he should have been much more careful with it, as Rashi says. Lihi Shomer, he should have watched it better, Ulis Ariba. And to be careful with it so it shouldn't cause the damage. So even according to Mandi Yonis, Skilos and Pshia Vesofa Bionis is Potter, here it's not a case necessarily. One side of the coin is, yeah, it still is a case of Skilos and Pshia Vesofa Bionis, because it's a very unusual thing. But the other side of the coin is, no, it's a Pshia at the end as well, because he knew that it was pregnant, he knew it was going to give birth soon, and he should have been more careful with it. So what's the answer to Rav Yirmiyah's question? Take it. We don't have an answer. The Gemara doesn't answer this question. Okay. Now the Gemara says, we quote the Mishnah, Ketzad Mishalemis Mashi Zika, V'chule. How do we go and calculate when there is a chiyuv to pay Mashi Zika? How do we go and calculate it? Now, the obvious way that most of us would have thought on our own is, well, you go see to sell it what it's worth on the open market. So it ruined $10 worth of vegetables, so you should pay $10 for it. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said you evaluate it by saying how much this area was worth with this produce intact and how much the area is worth without the produce intact, with that row gone. And then you have to calculate it based upon a base saw. And we'll see exactly what that means. So therefore, you do it in somewhat of a roundabout way. We'll see it's either a one-step or a two-step process to figure out what exactly is Ketzad Mishalemis Mashizika. How do you go figure out how much to pay? Nobody says that you just sell what it's on the open market in our Mishnah. Nobody says that. And now we have to understand what our Mishnah is talking about. So the Gemara starts off, Minohani Mili. How do we know that we don't just calculate, well, it's worth $10, so you have to pay $10 worth of damage? How do we know that you assess it based upon what the field was worth beforehand and what the field is worth now in somewhat of a roundabout way? Where do we see that from? So Amar Rav Masna, Rav Masna tells us, look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us, Ki Yaver Ish Sodeo Kerem, Vishilachas Biro, Vier Bisteacher. Meitav sadeu u'meitav karmo yishalem. It uses the lashon ubi'er b'steyacher. Now that's seemingly extra words, as we'll see in a moment. So the pasuk tells us ubi'er b'steyacher. The yomakro ubi'er b'steyacher to teach us this exact din. Melami sheshomim al gav sadeacher. That you evaluate the damage that was done in the context of a larger field. So you have to go and not look at just this one row, what it's worth, and pay that damage, but you look at what the field was worth with this row intact, and what the larger field is worth with the row not intact, and that'll be a smaller payment than if you just went and evaluated how much the damage is. Gemara's question is, it says, really? That's what we need the words ubi'er b'steyacher for? We had earlier in the Masechta, we needed the words b'steyacher in the Mishnah on Daf Yutes. It said over there that we needed the words we needed that miboy alele afuke rishus harabim. That taught us that the only time that you chayev for shein and regel is when you go into the rishus of the nizak. But in the public domain in the rishus harabim, so then there is no damages for shein and regel. An animal's allowed to walk there. If you left your kalim over there and the animal walking normally went and destroyed them, that's your problem. The animal has the right to walk in the Rishus HaRabim. Don't leave your kalim there. And likewise, if the animal eats your produce that you left in the Rishus HaRabim, don't be upset. That's what animals do. And it's in the Rishus HaRabim where it's allowed to be. So we needed the words ubi'er b'steyacher to teach us that you only pay for shein v'regel in the Rishus of the Nizak. So how can you tell me we need it over here to teach us this din, how we go melami shishon and agav soda acher, that that's the way to calculate ketzah mishalemes ma'ashe zika. Shmuel says, no. If it only had said the word Bier, so im kein lichto rachmanu ubier b'stei chavero. Just say, and it went and did damage in stei chavero. Why did it use the lashon stei acher, another field? Alternatively, it could have just said ubier stei acher. Inami stei acher. It could have said my b'stei acher instead of saying b'stei chavero or stei acher. It said b'stei acher. Therefore, Sheshom and Agav Soda Acher. It teaches both of these dinim. It can teach us a din that you only chayv the Rishus of the Nizak and not in the Rishus of Rabim. And it can also teach us this concept of Nolami Sheshom and Agav Soda Acher. Mara questions this and says, maybe the Ema Kuli L'Hach Yudiyasa. Maybe it's just coming to teach us this din that Shaman Agav Sode Acher, and in fact, Lafuki Rishus Rabbi Minolan, and we'll need a different drasha to teach us that you only pay if you have Shem Veregel and Rishus of the Nizak, and not from this drasha over here. Someone says, no, we can learn both from here. Because if we only wanted to learn this din of Sheshamim, Agabi Steacher, Imkein Lichta Rechbon, Agabi Tashlumim, then you should have put this by the Tashlumim part. The Pasuk says, Kiyavu Ish Sodeo Kerem, Vishalachas Biro, Bierbe Steacher, Metav Sodeu, Metav Kamo, Yeshalim. If it wanted to teach us just that din, it should have put the words, Metav Sodeu, Metav Karmo, Yeshalim, Bisteacher. Lichtevei Rachmona Gabi Tashlumim. Put this word, Steacher, by the Tashlumim if it wanted to teach us just that din. Meitav Sodeu, Meitav Kamo Yishalayim B'Steacher. Oh, Lomo Li, why did the Torah, the Katzvei Rachmona Gabi Ubier B'Steacher, why did it put it in the area where the damage is mentioned, Ubier B'Steacher? Oh, that comes Shmami Notarti. That comes to teach us both of these dinim. To teach me that it's only the Rishus of Nizak and not the Rishus of Rabbi that you have to pay for Shein and Regal. And Melami Shishom and Agabi Sodeacher. To teach us that we make this calculation, what this larger field will be worth with this Aruga, with this row intact and with this row missing. And that's a smaller payment than for the actual damages that were done. Ah, that's how we pay. Ketzah Nishalemes Ma'ashe Zika. The Mara continues and says, well, let's get a little bit more detail. How do you actually go? The Mishnah had said that you go and evaluate it based upon a base saw. Now, normally a base saw is a 50 amma by 50 amma field, which is 2,500 amma. But here, Tosus points out, in this big Tosus, Shomin base saw, so Tosus says here, it's a reference to how much grain is actually grown in the base saw, not the base saw itself. In any event, the Gemara says, how do you go and actually do the calculations? And we'll have three different opinions. So the first opinion is Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. So the Gemara tells us, Om Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, you go and evaluate in the following way. You say, saw, certain measure called the saw, you evaluate that Bishishin sawing against 60 base saw. In other words, you go and take this one field that you had the damage in, and you take that base saw that it's in, and you evaluate that against 60 base saw. So if a base saw is worth, you know, $10, it's worth a certain amount. So if you have 60 of them, so it's going to be worth not $10 anymore. It's going to be worth a little bit less, because when you're buying something at 60, you're paying a little bit less per base saw. When you're buying one base saw, you're paying a higher price. When you buy one widget in the store, you pay $10 for the widget. If you buy 50 widgets, 60 widgets, they'll give you a discount. So too, if you're buying 60 base saw, it's going to be a little bit less than the actual cost of each one of those 60 base saw. So the first opinion is that you go and calculate how much 60 base saw would be worth, and then you take 1/60th of that, which is going to be a lower number than if you just paid for one base saw itself, and now you look at that new figure of that lower figure for what the base saw is worth, and you say how much would it be worth with the row intact and with the row gone. So that's the first opinion. Riani says almost the exact same thing, except he says you take half of that amount. Not 60 base saw, he says you take 30 base saw. Riani Omar Tarkav. Tarkav is tre ukav, which means three kav. And a saw is six kav. So he's basically halving it. So why didn't he just say 30 saw? So before I should explain, because we wanted to keep this 1 to 60 ratio. So Rav Yani says you take tarkav, a field a size of a tarkav, and you evaluate how much that would be worth if you purchase 60 tarkavim, and therefore it's going to be less. If you purchase each tarkav by itself, you're paying more. If you purchase 60 of them together, you're paying a little bit less for each tarkav. So you evaluate how much this tarkav is worth when it's part of a 60 tarkav field, and then you see the damage in that one tarkav, what it's worth with the row intact and with the row devoured. So that's how you calculate according to Rav Yane. That's the second opinion. The first two opinions are very similar. It's a two-step process. You first evaluate how much the field is worth if it's purchased with 60 times as much as it, and then when you have that calculation for what it's worth, you then say, given this amount of money that this field is worth, how much is it worth with the row there and with the row not there? And that will be the amount that you pay. That's the first two opinions. The third opinion is Chizkiya. Chizkiya Amar, you don't do a two-step process, you just do a one-step process. Let's say a single kelach was destroyed, so you evaluate how much shishim kelach are worth, kelach b'shishim klochim, so it's a 1-to-60 ratio. So you don't pay just the straight amount for one, but you evaluate if 60 of them cost so much, so you get it cheaper for 60 than you do if you buy 60 individual items. If you go into a store and you buy one item, then you buy another store, same item, another store, same item. You're buying 60 stores, they're all paying, costing the same amount. You're going to have to pay 60 times that larger amount. But if you buy all 60 at once, you'll get a discount. They'll give you 20% off. So therefore, you take a kelach, b'shishim klochem, how much would it be worth if you had 60 of them, and now you evaluate what 1/60th that is, and that's the damage according to Chizkiya. It's only a one-step process, not a two-step process like the first two opinions. Gemara questions all three, however. Meisvi, Gemara says, none of these three seem to accord with the following braisa. The braisa says, ochlo kav o kabayim. If an animal ate a single kav or a two kav amount of food, so ein omrim tishalim demeyim, we don't say, pay the amount of those two in the store. Ella, what does the braisa say? We view it as if it was a row of produce in a small field. And you evaluate how much that row is worth. So, my la bifnei atzma, this braisa seems to say, you look at it itself. How much is this row worth? You don't evaluate it again, the 60 like the first two opinions said, and then go and figure out what 1/60th is worth and say how much it's worth before and how much it's worth after the damage. So the braisa seems to go against the first two opinions, and it goes against Chizkiya as well, who said you look at 60 of them and you take 1/60th of that cost. Here it just says you look at this field, this aruga. What is it worth with it full, and what is it worth with it empty? So my la bifnei atzma, aren't you talking about it by itself? Akasha against all three opinions. So one says, no, who says? The braisa just says, misharano, so you evaluate it. Evaluate it like any of the first three opinions. Lo, b'shishim. Go evaluate it like any of the first three opinions. That's a simple way to understand this. That all three of the Amoraim are in accord with this price. Now the Gemara brings down a very enigmatic price, which we'll spend the rest of the year trying to explain. Tana Rabbah, we learn the following price: Ein shamim kav mipnei shemash bicho. You can't go and evaluate a kav's worth of damage because it's going to make it better, mashbicho. And you can't go below base core. You can't go and evaluate it as a base core. The core is 30 saw, so a very large amount mipnei shapogbo, because you're going to make it less. What in the world is this braisa talking about? If it's a kav, you're making it better, and if it's a base core, you're making it worse. My comment. The Gemara asks, what is this braisa talking about? So I'm Rapapa. Rapapa comes to explain the braisa in the following way. Rapapa tells us, Hochi Kama, this is what the braisa is explaining. Ein shomim kav b'shishim kavim. Don't go and say one kav was damaged, and you look at to see how much 60 kavs are worth, and in that situation, go and pay 1/60th. Like Chizkiya said, mipnei shemashbiach mazik, because in that situation you're going to benefit the mazik. As Rashi points out in Dira Masik, mipnei shemashbiach mazik, the shishim kavim ain lohem mecher. 60 kavim doesn't have buyers. Mipnei shemirubin hein leoni, because it's too much for a poor person to buy. However, it's too little, umwatin lebenani, it's too little for a regular person to buy 60 kavim, it's a relatively small amount. And kol shekein, certainly a rich person is not going to buy such a small amount. But kol shekein liosher. So it's an unusual amount for people to buy these 60 kavim. It's too much for a poor person, and it's too little for a benani, and certainly for a rich person. Point number one. Second point, Rashi says, va'od, shein karachas kav, nikeres b'shishim kavim. The amount that's missing, if you had 60 kavs versus 59 kavs, it's insignificant. So this way, the mazik would pay almost nothing. That's what it means, Rapapa says, ein shomim kav b'shishim kavim, because it looks, in this situation, like the mazik's getting away with very, very little payment. So, mipnei shemashbiach mazik. But likewise, Rapapa says, the braisa tells us, v'lo kor b'shishim korim. Don't take a kor of damage and use that against 60 korim of damage to figure out the price. Mipnei shepoge mazik. Here, the mazik's going to come out with a very big payment when he wouldn't normally have to pay so much. Why is that? Rashi explains, v'lo kor b'shishim korim. For example, ochla kor, the animal ate a kor's worth of tfuah, 30 saw of tfuah. So ain't shomano so b'shishim kurmi. You don't go and evaluate how much 60 are worth and then make the mazik pay 1/60 of that. Why? They should pogi mazik because the mazik is going to come out paying too much. Rashi explains why. Lefisha adam hamishupa b'nechasim. Because a wealthy person can only buy such an area, and wealthy people v'toyv liknos karka gedola. They love to buy large plots of land. In the times of the Gemara, land was king. Real estate was king. And people wanted to invest in large plots of fields if they were rich. So this rich guy, wow, this property is for sale, I'll buy it. It's an exorbitant price, I'll buy it anyway. So kone osok yishu motza behar beyosu midomav. He's willing to overpay for it because he doesn't get a chance to buy such large plots of land normally. So he's willing to overpay for it. So that's point number one. The 60 times is actually more than the 1/60th amount. So here you're not getting a discount for buying more, you're actually paying more for it. Furthermore, the ode, karachas kur, gidoli, ma'od, if it were to be missing from this large area of 60 kur, a entire kur, that's a very significant amount. And therefore, that would be very recognizable, and you'd pay through the nose. And therefore, the mazik would be paying more than he should be paying. Ella. Therefore, Rashi says, kol saw shomim mishishim. So you just take a single saw and you evaluate it against 60 saw. Similarly, sounding like chizkia, and that's the simplest way to understand it, but the Mefarshim bring down the first two opinions as well could learn this too. But there's a problem here. The Gemara says, masik lo Rav Huna bar Manoach. Look at the wording. It said, base kor. Hi, below base core. The second part of the Brice says, but don't do a base core. It shouldn't have said a base core. It should have said below core, mi boile. Why is this base core? So therefore, that's a problem. The wording over here, below base core, mitmeisha pogbo, that's a problem. It should have said below core, mitmeisha pogbo. So therefore, el omer rav huna bar manoach, mishmei de rav acha, berei de rav ika. So he says as follows. This is what the Brisa is telling us. You don't just go and evaluate the kav, how much it's worth in the store. He damaged the kav, see what it's worth in the store, and pay that. Because because that's too high a payment. The nizach's getting away over here with too much of a payment. And likewise, the low kav, the base core. Don't go and evaluate from a base core, 30 saw, what one kav damages. That kav is a sixth of a saw. So this would be 1/6 of a saw times 30. So this would be 1/180th of the field is missing. And that's a very, very small amount. When you say this person buys 180 and you only give him 179, so that's almost a minuscule damage. But Nesha Pogim Nizak. The Nizak's not going to get his fair payment in that situation. Ella, how do you do it? Ella b'shishim. So again, the simple understanding over here is this is like chizkia, but you can learn it like the first two opinions as well, that you go and do the evaluation against 60, how much 60 would be worth of a smaller amount, not a core's worth, but a saw's worth, and then you go and calculate what the damage is, 1/60th of that price that you establish. But you could learn it like chizkia, you could learn it like the first two opinions, that you have the two-step process as well. That's what the Mefarshim explained. How Gavra, the once was a man, the Kotz Kashba Mechavre. He cut down a Kashba. Rashi says the Kashba is the deckle, a palm tree of his friend. So they go to court. Also, the Kamad Reish Galusa. So the Nizak, the one who owned the palm tree that was cut down, went to the Reish Galusa to go and adjudicate the case. So Amale, Rashi explains this is the Reish Galusa talking, and the Reish Galusa says, Ani ro'isi l'didi chazili, back to the Gemara, I myself saw this tree, I knew what this tree was worth. It was part of a three-tree grove. Utlosa, Toslosa, Bikina, Havu Kaime. Rashi explains, Shloshu de Kolim Zeitzozet. It was part of a three-tree grove, and I knew what these trees were worth. Bahavu Shavu, Meya Zuzi. It was worth 100 zuz. These three trees were worth 100 zuz. Each tree is worth 33 and a third zuz. So you'd cut down one of those trees. The Reish Galusa said, Zil Havle, go and pay this guy, Tlosin 30, Utlosa 3, Vitilsa, and a third. Go and pay him 33 and a third zuz, one third of this 100 zuz orchard. Now, the Mazik wasn't happy with this response from the Reish Galusa. So the Mazik said, Omar, Gabe Reish Galusa, I'm going by the Reish Galusa, the Doin Dina de Parsa. He's judging the way the Gentiles judge, the way the Parsoim judge. Lonely. Why do I go to him? I wanted a halachic response. I want what Beis Din would say. You're giving me what the Persians do. So also the Rav Nachman. So he goes to the great judge Rav Nachman, and he tells the case over to Rav Nachman, and Amalei Rav Nachman tells him, Bishishim. We do this calculation of shishim. As if there were 60 trees, then how much would a tree be worth? And that's going to be a smaller amount than the three tree, one-third of three trees. So you go and evaluate how much 60 trees are worth, and then if you only have 59, so then how much would it be the difference? So it's a smaller amount. So he went to Rav Nachman. Now, Rava wasn't happy with Rav Nachman's psak. Amri Rava said to Rav Nachman, Rebbe, im amru beniske mamono, yomru beniske gufo, that which we've been talking about now, how much does the damager pay? So that's talking about when a person's property did the damage. My ox ate your row of produce. My ox fell on your row of produce. Do we say the same din? That you make this evaluation of Bishishim, yomru beniske gufo, if the person himself did it? Adamur liolam, this man did this damage, he should pay the full damage. Why are we looking to make him pay a lesser amount using this concept of making it worth 60 times as much and then taking 1/60th of it? That's what Rava says to Rav Nachman. Amalei Abaye Rava. Abaye questions Rava. And he says, really? Is there a difference between Niske Mamono and Niske Gufo? That's what Abaye says to Rava. Beniske Gufo, my daitach. In regards to a person who himself does the damage, your thinking is that you don't do this calculation with Shishim? Is it based upon the following? The Tanya. Hamavkir karmo shulchaveiro smadar. If a person went and was mafkir, Rashi says that mafkir, hamavkir karmo, means shiches vikilo. He destroyed it. He ruined his friend's karmo, his friend's vineyard. Now, there were fruits in the vineyard. So, the din is in the Braisa. Roen oso kamo haiso yofa kodem lechein v'kamo hi yofa liachem ikan. You go and evaluate what this vineyard is worth with the fruits on it before you went and damaged it. And then you see how much this vineyard is worth after you damaged it. So it's worth $1,000 before you damaged it. It's worth $200 after you damaged it. No, you have to go and pay $800. And it doesn't say anything about shishim in this situation. You don't say, well, how much would 60 vineyards or something like that be worth? And then you take 1/60th of that to establish the price. And then you say, how much damage was it before and afterwards? No. Filu b'shishim lo k'tani. It doesn't mention anything about shishim. So you're telling me this is your source that say by a person who does damage, it doesn't mention anything about using this shishim methodology. So then, wait a second. Otu gabi behemto, by your behema going and causing damage, nami. We have the exact same thing that it doesn't mention the 60 by the behemah. Where is that, the Tanya? We have a brisa that says, Kotmo Nitiya. Now Rashi says, Hochi Garsinon, Kotmo Nitiya. Rashi apparently didn't like the girsa that was originally in the Gemara. Rashi changed it, and the editors followed Rashi, as they often do. So they already have the Hochi Garsinon, Kotmo Nitiya. And Rashi explains, this means behemah shekotmo Nitiya. If your animal cut down these saplings, so then Rav Yosef Omer goes to Gezerus of Yerushalayim Omrim, those great Dayanim that were Gozer Gezerus in Yerushalayim. Who are these? So Rashi explains, this was Konsei Kenosos. These were these great Dayanim that made certain penalties. And this is Admon and Chonon ben Avshalom. And we learned about them, if you remember, the last Perek in Ksubos. In any event, these great Dayanim, they said, Nitiya bas Shenoso Shtei Kesef. They said that the minimal amount of damage that you're going to have to pay, it could be more than that, but the minimal amount is going to be, if it's a first-year sapling, in the first year, the minimal amount that you have to pay is shtei kesef. And if it's a second-year sapling, the minimal amount that you have to pay is arbor kesef. Now, that's not where the raya comes from. Here's where the raya comes from. The next part says, Ochlu chozes, if this animal ate chozes. Rashi says chozes is shachas, which means immature grain. It's growing, but it's still immature. So Yosef Glili Omer, Nidon Bimishuyor Shabo. You go and evaluate what this field was beforehand and what the field was afterwards. You look and see what remains in that field. Masha Mishuyor Bo. As Rashi says, Rowin es anosor, lefi mashatala, kol aruga v'yaruga, bimeha kotzir, umishalim. You go and see what the remainder of the field is going to sell for at the time of the harvest. And you then say, well, this aruga was 1/60th of that, 1/20th of that. And whatever it was, you now know what that field is worth at the time of the harvest. So you have to pay for that aruga that was damaged. That's the opinion of Rav Yosef Glili, which is a larger amount than the opinion of the Chachamim, where it was often a larger amount. Rav Yosef Glili has an aspect of kula in it as well, because in case a blight comes and the rest of the field is destroyed, so then Rav Yosef Glili will say, then you don't pay anything, because that blight would have destroyed your row as well. But in general, Rav Yosef Gli is going to be a much higher payment than the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, Ro'on osa kama isa yofa v'kama hi yofa. The Chachamim say, you go and evaluate what it's worth now with the aruga and what it's worth now without the aruga. And that's what you pay. Now notice it doesn't mention anything about Shishim. And here's going to be the question as we turn to Nuntes Omer Aleph. But let's do the rest of the Braisa still, because we're going to have proofs as well from the rest of the Braisa. Ochlo smadar, if the animal ate smadar. Smadar are also immature grapes. Rashi says, anovim dakim b'tchiloson li'achar sheparchu miyad. They have sprouted a little bit, but they're still immature. So, Rav Yeshua omer, ro'no son kilu hein anovim omdos li'botzer. Rav Yeshua says, you look at them as if they were ready to be picked. 2 months from now, when they're ready to be picked, and you see what they're worth then, and that's how you go and pay for that. That's a large amount. The Chacham Amrim, no, it's a smaller amount. Ro'en kamoi seyofe v'kamoi yofe. You look at the field, what it's worth now with those smother there before the animal ate it, and you look at the field now with that row missing of the smother, how much the field is worth, and that's how you calculate the damage. And again, it doesn't mean anything about Shishim. So here's another place where we get out the Kasha from Abaya onto Rava to say, you say that there's a difference between Niske Mamono and Niske Gufo. So now we finish off the Braisa. The Braisa says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says the name of Rabbi Shimon. B'med Dvar Amurim, what are we talking about over here? Bizman She'ochlo Lulavei Gefanim V'Yichurei Tanim. When it went and ate really just the branches itself without the real grapes or the figs being on them. Either the Lulavei Gefanim, the grapes being on it, or the Tanim being on these branches. Aval Ochlo Pagim Abosa, but if it in fact ate the immature form of the pagim or the figs or the bosa or the grapes, so then rodas and kilu anavim omdosli botzer. Then you look at them as if they were already fully grown. Similar to the opinions that we had earlier from the more machmir opinions. But the bottom line is, Abaye questions Rav, and he says, what does it say over here? According to the Chachamim, Tani Mies, the Chachamim Omrim, in the second and third cases over here, ro'on osa kama haisa yofa v'kama hi yofa. You evaluate it with the furrow there intact, and then you evaluate it with the furrow not intact, and you see what the difference is. Now, notice it didn't say anything about Shishim. The Chachamim just said, Rodos Okama Yisa Yofa, Vakama Yofa, Velo Kitani B'Shishim. Now, this is talking about the person's property, not his guf. Elo, Mayis L'Chamema, what must you say? That when it says over here, you look at the damage before and after, and then you must also B'Shishim, do the Shishim calculation. Hanami. So therefore, when it said beguf, it didn't mention the shishim, but it also was implying that you also have to do the shishim calculation, even if it's begufo. So therefore, Abaye points out to Rava, your problem saying that, would you say this, Rav Nachman, whether it was done begufo versus whether it's done with your property, so you're trying to bring a raya that the person's guf is different, so the answer is no. The Braisa shows you that there's no difference between a person's guf and the person's property. Both situations, you have to go and evaluate it with the Shishim methodology. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.